Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast.
All right. Well, continue this series, There Goes the Neighborhood, talking about all the opportunities God has given us since we moved into this new space. Wanted to start today by telling you guys a story that happened to me this week. I decided that it'd be a good idea for my two older sons. David is 9. He'll be 10 on Tuesday. And John is 7. And so I decided to take him to Atlanta just for a couple of days. It's kind of, school starting back. It's kind of a dad's trip. And so we decided to fly because it'd be quicker. And so on Thursday afternoon, we flew to Atlanta. And David's flown recently, so he's kind of used to it. John, my 7-year-old son, last time he flew, he was 8 months old. So he does not remember flying at all. And so we're seated in our row in our airplane. It's a three-seat row. So it's me, David, and then Jonathan went to the window because he wanted to see, because he was all excited because he'd never flown before. And so that excitement lasted right up until the moment that we actually began to take off. His excitement turned to something else. He was seated next to the window, and his arms were here, and he had a really serious look. He was kind of locked in, but he was excited, thought it was going to be good. And then, in my brain, what the pilot did is actually just put his foot down on the pedal. I don't know what he actually does. He probably like pushed this thing up the throttle. But anyway, it takes off, and John's smile immediately turned to a very serious determination. And he just began to grip those things, and he started looking, and it took off. He kind of pushed his head back, and he's going. And then the second we actually had liftoff, his face went from determination to, and he was just like this, and he kind of looked at me and kind of kept going. And I'm trying to be a good dad, so I'm leaning over. I'm like, buddy, it's okay. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good. And his face, he's just terrified. And then he starts looking out the window, and he sees that we're going up. And he looks at me and goes, why are we going so high? And I was like, because that's what we do. We fly. It's like, too high, too high, too high. And I'm trying to calm him down. I'm like, buddy, this is what's going to happen. We're going to go too high. Now, time out. It didn't help that we were taking off over the ocean. Because he goes, is that the ocean? And I was like, yes, it's the ocean. Too high, too high. And so we are taking off. And so I'm like, okay, I'm sitting here, like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And the first thing I was like, okay, if he's next to me, it'll be okay. So I just instinctively reach over, and I'm like, all right, I want you and your brother to switch seats. So I just unbuckle his seatbelt. Well, that was not the right thing to do. Because the second I unbuckled his seatbelt, he went, and like looked at me like, moron, that's what's keeping me alive right now. Don't unbuckle that again. And so I'm like, all right, buddy, calm down. It's okay. It's okay. At this point, he's starting to cry. He's like, we're going too high. This is too high. So I'm really panicked. So I finally get him to switch with David, right? I get him to switch, and John sits beside me. He's nervous. And then by about this time, we kind of, we start to level off. And we kind of relax, and he kind of starts to calm down. And again, he's like, I had no idea we were going to be this high. I'm like, but baby, we see planes go overhead all the time. He goes, they don't look this high. And so he's all locked in about it. But eventually, you kind of level off, and he starts looking out the window, and he's like, Dad, we're above the clouds. I'm like, I know. Isn't this cool? So he starts looking around. And by about halfway through the flight, he looks at me, and he goes, you know what, Dad? This isn't that bad. And I'm like, well, baby, why were you so scared? And he said, never forget. He said, because I've never done it before. And I didn't know what to expect. And the second he said it, I thought, that's an illustration. That's how I'm opening the sermon this week. Because what we're going to talk about today is something that if you're a Christ follower, if you're a Christian, if you follow Jesus with your life, you're asked to do this, right? And we've been talking about this entire series. But many, if not most of us, myself included, when presented with the opportunity to do what we're going to talk about today, we get scared. We get nervous because we don't know what to expect. What I'm talking about is sharing your faith with somebody else. When I grew up as a kid, it was called personal evangelism. Right? You were supposed to go around looking for people. I grew up Baptist, and we were pretty much trained to do this with strangers, which is about the worst thing I can imagine. But we were trained to do this. We had systematic ways that we were to do it. We were supposed to try to ask these questions to get people to talk about God. One method I learned actually included drawing on a napkin. You've heard me talk about that before. But in essence, the whole idea was, if you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, if Jesus has saved your life and he's changed your life, it's now our opportunity, it's our really responsibility to share that with other people. And that's something we believe as a church, right? Wellspring, we have these core values. I talked about one a minute ago. Another one of our core values, which is really what we built this entire series around, is this core value right here, that we are rescued people who rescue people, right? That's something that we are all called to do, which means if Jesus has changed our life, if he's rescued us, we believe it's our calling to then share that with other people and rescue other people so they can have their lives changed as well. We've been talking about that for this entire series. Last week, we talked about how you had the power within you to change somebody's story forever. And if you're like me, you were all fired up after last week. You were sitting here, you were thinking about people you could invite. You were so excited about it. And then you went outside, you got on 501, and you chickened out. Right? Or you had the opportunity this week to do it. And when the opportunity came, you started feeling it. You got that feeling. You got that feeling like, oh, okay, this is the time I'm supposed to talk about Jesus right now, and I don't know what to say, and this is a lot scarier than I anticipated it being. Oh no, what am I going to do? And you were scared because you didn't know what to expect. You didn't know how it was going to end. So you started filling in the blanks. They're going to think I'm a weirdo, and they're going to say no, or what if they stop being my friend, or what if they think, sir, I really just want to serve you your coffee. Get it, because you're witnessing at Starbucks. Get it? That's a bad joke, sorry. Didn't work. It's okay. I'm just a little mad at you. Not a lot mad, just a little bit. Just a little mad. So anyway, you get nervous. Now, I know some of you in this room today, you believe in Jesus. Amen. You don't get nervous at all about this. You love it. You can't wait to talk about Jesus with whoever you know. I had friends like you in college and in seminary. We would go out to lunch. We'd go out to dinner. They would be witnessing to the waitress within 5 minutes. And I'm just sitting there like, how do you do this? Or like, I have a buddy in Colorado. He's a pastor. Dude literally goes to Starbucks and just waits and just looks for that person sitting by himself so that he can just circle, land, and tell them about Jesus. And I'm like, dude, more power to you. Bravo. Because I don't have that gene. I don't have that in me, man. Strangers freak me out. Like, I'm afraid of them. I'm not afraid to tell you that. You know, and as a pastor, it's even a little different because, like, if I talk to somebody about Jesus and I'm like, hey, you should come to church with me. And they're like, well, tell me about your church. I'm like, well, I speak every week, so you can come hear me speak. Like, that's really weird. And so there's a lot of times, like I've been nervous about this. And if you're here today and you believe in Jesus and you get nervous, you get scared about that feeling, you get scared about talking about your faith, man, I'm so glad you're here because I have a story I want to share with you. And it's a story about a man named Philip who was one of Jesus' closest followers. He was one of his disciples. And Philip has an encounter. And as we look at this story, we're going to focus not really on what Philip does, but we're going to look up what God was doing through Philip and around Philip. And my hope today is if you're here today and you believe in Jesus and you sometimes get scared about talking about your faith, you get scared about inviting people to church, you kind of get nervous about those things, that as you hear this story and you see the fundamental truth that lies underneath it, that God is always at work in us and through us, that you, like me, because this has changed my life, that it'll change your ability even this week to talk to people about God, to talk to people about your church, talk to people about your learning, to obey God. I hope it'll change everything. Now, if you're here today and you don't believe in Jesus, guess what? You don't have to do this. You get the week off. But here's what I hope. I hope even if you're here today and you don't believe in Jesus, I hope you'll pay attention. I hope you'll lean in today because two things. One, I hope one day you're going to change your mind. And I hope one day you are going to give your life to Jesus and you're going to begin to follow Jesus and you're going to have a leg up. You're going to know what you're supposed to do. But secondly, I hope you'll listen, because if you're here today and you don't believe in Jesus, what we're talking about should happen in other people's lives has happened in yours. And that's why you're here today, so that you can hear the truth of what Jesus has done for you. And hopefully, you'll take another step towards believing in him and believing in what he has to say. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament. We have four biographies of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then Acts was also written by Luke, the same guy that wrote the book of Luke. He was a historian. And Acts tells us the story of the early church, kind of the spread of the early church. And in Acts chapter 8, we've been looking at some guys who've been preaching. And then Luke kind of tells us the story of this guy named Philip and what Philip does. And again, what I want you to notice really isn't even what Philip does. What I want you to see is what God was doing through Philip. Okay, Like I said, if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 8. If it's not, it's going to be up on the screen. And here's what happens. It says, as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him. Now, the reason it says as for Philip is because Luke was just telling us about Peter and John. And so he basically says, Peter and John did this. And he says, now, as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him. Some of you are already freaked out, right? Like God spoke to him. Here's what he said. He said, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So God says to him, hey, I want you to walk this way. I want you to go over here. And again, if you're a Christ follower today, for some people, that really scares you because you're like, wait, what? God spoke to him? God talked to him? But let me explain what that means, because my bet is it's happened in every one of your lives. If you've ever been about to do something, if you've ever been doing something, and you've had that little voice in the back of your head say, hey, that's not a good idea. Don't do that. That's God talking to you. If you've ever been driving down the road, right, and somebody cuts you off in traffic, and everything in you wants to give them the Myrtle Beach hello, and you don't, because that voice is like, hey, you're not supposed to do that. Or maybe you remember something you've heard at church, and it's like, you know what, I need to forgive, I need to love them. I got to, you know, you realize you got the Wellspring bumper sticker on the back of your car, and you're like, yeah, I probably shouldn't do that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That's what we call it. I grew up Baptist, and we call that the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Right? The Holy Spirit prompting us to behave or to do what God would want us to do. Here's a great example. If you've ever been riding down the street or at home, and for some reason, somebody comes to your mind, a good friend, maybe it's your mom or dad, maybe it's an aunt and uncle, whatever, but they just come to your mind, right? And you're just thinking about them, and you don't know why, but something's like, you know what? I should call them. Right? So you pick up the phone, and you call them, and when they answer the phone, they say, I cannot believe you just called. I was just thinking about you. Well, you're not magic. You don't have ESP, right? That was the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a coincidence. God wanted you guys to talk right then. And here's the cool thing we believe about the prompting of the Holy Spirit, right? As the Holy Spirit speaks to us and prompts to us, the quicker and the more often we listen and we respond and we actually do what it wants us to do, the easier it is to hear it. The easier it is to understand exactly what it is that God wants us to do with our life. So Philip had just been preaching and God had just moved through him. So he had seen a lot of people have their lives changed. So Philip is like, he is like on fire, man. He is all just ready to go. He's like how you feel like the second you walk out of church, right? And you're like, man, I'm going to love people this weekend. I'm going to forgive people. And you get in your car and you're like, I'm going to love people. I'm going to forgive people. And you pull out of the parking lot. You're like, I'm going to love people. I'm going to forgive people. And then you get on 501 and you forget everything you learned. And it's like our students who just got back from Motion, right? Man, they were so excited when they left. And now this Sunday, they're like, I'm kind of excited, but school starts back, and I'm kind of nervous too. I don't know what to do, right? That's what happens. If you grew up, maybe you went to youth camp. You had that, you know. Maybe you came home from youth camp, and you were like, I'm going to get rid of all my secular music. I'm going to break all my CDs. And a week later, you were like, why'd I break all my CDs? Maybe I can go buy them again. But anyway, maybe you've had this experience, right? And Philip, man, he has been listening. He is locked and loaded. So when he hears God say go, he is like, man, I am going to go. So in verse 27, it says, so he started out. And then Luke kind of jumps ahead and he says, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kandake, the queen of Ethiopia. Now, the way Luke tells the story, it sounds like they had a standing appointment and he walks out and he meets this guy, right? But that's not what actually happens. He meets this man the same way you meet someone you're sitting beside in traffic on 501. That's not actually the way the story goes. He didn't meet this guy until he got there. So that's really why we're telling this story, right? Because God knew what he was doing. Philip had absolutely no idea. All Philip knew was this. Philip was walking where God told him to walk. Now, how many of you know good things happen when you walk where God tells you to walk? That's exactly what happened. So Philip starts walking. Here's what we see. Here's what we find out. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Now, this is interesting. This guy had been in Jerusalem. He had been to the Jewish temple, and he was worshiping the Jewish God. Now, it's very unlikely that he was a true convert to Judaism. It's much more likely that he was kind of checking things out, that he was exploring God because he was interested in the things of God, but he was not yet invested in the things of God. But Philip had no idea of any of this. Philip was just walking where God told him to walk. And wouldn't you know it, he comes upon a guy who's interested, but not invested in the things of God. But that's not all. Listen to this. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. So not only had he been to church because he was interested, he's on his way home and he's reading the Bible. Because again, he's interested. He's checking things out. Now again, I cannot stress this enough. Philip had no idea any of this was happening. He had no idea he was going to meet somebody. He had no idea that person was going to have been to church. He had no idea that person was reading the Bible. Philip was just simply doing what God asked him to do. So he's walking along. He sees this person on the road. God speaks again. It says, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. He says, hey, you see that guy over there? I want you to go get close to him. Notice he doesn't say, I want you to go change his life. He doesn't say, I want you to go over there and share the gospel with him. I want you to go over there and tell him the fine theological details of everything you've ever learned and convince him to change his mind. He doesn't say that at all. He says, hey, I want you to go get close to this man. I just want you to go get close to him. I just want you to go sit beside him. I just want you to go be around him. And as he gets over there, he discovers that this guy's reading. It says, Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip, who again, no idea what God's doing, just know God told him to walk this way, so he's doing what God told him to do, sees this man, has no idea he's been to church, but as he gets close, he hears him reading out loud from the book of Isaiah, which is a book of Hebrew prophecy. He hears him reading out loud. Now, you may wonder, why was the guy reading out loud? Well, it's because 2,000 years ago, when they would write the scrolls of the prophets and you know, the story of the Old Testament, they didn't use punctuation and they didn't use spacing. I guess it was to conserve space, but it was all just one long paragraph. And so if you read it out loud, it was much easier to sound out the words, to know where one word stopped, where the next word began, to know where the breaks were. So that was the way you did it. You read out loud. So this guy is reading out loud from the Bible. So loud that as Philip gets close to him, he hears him doing it. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm Philip, I'm doing backflips at this point because I'm now relieved that I'm not a crazy person. That really was God who told me to take this walk on the desert because there ain't nothing in the desert, but I was going to do it, God, because you said so, but I was a little afraid. I don't know about you, but sometimes I follow God and I'm like 85% sure it's God, 15% it might be me, but I'm like, oh, that's enough. And so you kind of take a stab and you're like, all right, okay, that worked. All right, God. Okay, I'm going to go one more. What? Okay, that was good too. So Philip gets here, and now at this point, Philip hears what's going on, and he's looking up at God, and he's like, ah, you sly devil. You had this plan the whole time. You knew what you were doing. I can't believe this, man. You are so good. Because that's what he's realizing right now. He's realizing God set this up. God had me walk on here for a reason. God's been working in this guy's life before I even knew it. Here he is. He's sitting here reading out of the book of Isaiah. This is amazing. See, what Philip just discovered is really the bottom line of today. Usually I wait till the end to give you the bottom line, but I'm going to go ahead and give it to you now because I'm going to repeat it over and over and over again. Because what Philip discovered is this fundamental truth about God that I believe can change your life. Can change the way you act when you obey, can change the way you act when you want to tell other people about him, can change the way you act in every aspect of your life. Because what Philip learned was that God wasn't just speaking to him. God was moving around him in preparation for what he was going to ask Philip to do. And what I believe God wants to tell each and every one of you today that follows him is that when he asks you to do something, he's preparing other people to receive what he's asking you to do. This is how we say it at Wellspring. We say this: when God prompts, he also prepares. That's what Philip learned. When God prompts, when the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, you can trust that he's preparing the person to receive what he's prompted you to do. When he prompts you to obey, you can trust that he's already prepared the circumstances for you to step into it. For some of you today, he's going to prompt you to give your life to him, but you're not sure what's going to happen. You're not sure how your family's going to feel. You're not sure what your boyfriend's going to think. You're not sure what your girlfriend's going to think. Time out. If your boyfriend don't want you to become a Christian, take your phone out right now. Text him that says, my pastor says, we got to break up. Go ahead. And if he's a really big guy, tell him TJ Goff said it. But this is the bottom line of the day, folks. When God prompts, he also prepares. When you get that feeling, when you feel in that moment, wait a minute, they're asking some questions. This is what we talked about last week at church. Oh, no. Oh, no. I think I'm supposed to talk about Jesus now. You start grabbing your seat. I think we're supposed to talk about Jesus now. What do I do? What do I do? When you get that feeling, you get scared because you don't know what's coming next. And what Philip learned, what I hope you learned today, is that what comes next is God's preparation. Because when God prompts, he also prepares. So, Philip walks up beside our buddy. He hears him reading. Look at the question Philip asks. Look at this. Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what's happening? Because see, at this point, Philip knows this is over. The guy doesn't know it's over yet, but Philip does. Philip's like, man, God called me here. God put me here. This dude's reading about the Bible. He's reading it out loud. This is a home run I can't wait to share. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you will be more willing to invite your friends or family or neighbors and coworkers to church to talk to them about Jesus if they wore a shirt that said, hey, you, please talk to me about Jesus? Right? You would do it, right? Because Jesus has changed your life. You would never go back to the way it used to be. You're excited about Jesus, and you know Jesus would be the best thing for them. But when you get the feeling, you get scared because you don't know what's going to happen next because we're scared of the unknown. But what God is trying to teach each of us today is that you don't have to be scared because when God prompts, he also prepares, that he has prepared that person to hear. Now, I don't know about you, but how many times have we said no to the prompting of God because we make excuses for other people? I know I have. Well, I mean, yep, they don't want to come. They're busy. You know, maybe it was Saturday night. Maybe it was last night. And you don't know why, but somebody came to your head and you wanted to call them. You wanted to invite them. And you made excuses for them to not do it. Well, they had a long week. Ah, they need to rest. Here's my personal favorite. Well, they have family in town. Let me just preach a mini sermon here, folks. When your family comes to town, the people you supposedly love the most in the world, why would you not bring them to the place that has changed your life so that they can get their lives changed too? The beach will be there at noon. We work really hard to get you out on time. We work really hard because we want to go to the beach too. We love it. That's it. But that wasn't. Well, we had family in town, so we didn't go. What? I don't understand that one. Anyway, sorry. My wife's not in here, so I can say stuff like that. She would be up there going, no, stop. But nope, can't do it. See, we do that for people, right? And it's because we don't understand this truth. We don't understand that when God prompts, he also prepares. We don't understand that when God is prompting us to make the call, he's preparing them to receive the call. We don't believe that. We don't understand that. And that's why I'm trying to teach you this morning. When God prompts, he also prepares. Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, now, wait a minute. Somebody's come to my mom before. I've called and invited them, and they said no. That's okay. The average person has to be invited to church 7 to 10 times before they'll come. And many of you, it took that long, right? So, yeah, your call might not be the 7th, might be the 3rd, might be the 4th. Hopefully, it's 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, until they say yes. Because this isn't a might help. This is a going to change their life. Going to change their life. So anyway, what I'm really trying to get you to see is that we make excuses for other people because we don't understand this fundamental truth. We don't understand that when God prompts, he also prepares. We don't understand that when we get that feeling. We pull back because we're afraid, but it's because we don't know what's coming next. The story pulls back that curtain and fully illustrates for us what it is God wants to do through each and every one of us. And that's what Philip did. Notice Philip doesn't come up to him and say, hello there, good sir. Let me tell you about my friend, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you given your life to him or are you going to burn in hell? It's not what he says. He walks up to him and says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? You know why? He sought to connect before he tried to convert. Now, that's a sermon for a whole other day. But he sought to connect before he tried to convert. He heard him and said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? Do you know what that really means? And look what happens. Listen to what he says. The man replied, well, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. Come on. He's like, yeah, come on up here. I don't understand this. Come sit up there. Come teach me what is he's talking about. Now watch this. Watch this, guys. It's almost like God's real. I mean, it's almost like he planned this. Listen to this. Listen to this. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. Out of all the book of Isaiah, out of all the passages he could have been reading, this is what he was reading out loud when Philip, the man who had been somewhere else, who walked where God told him to walk, who had no idea what was going on, simply responded to the prompting of God, walked into the situation. This is what this man who was interested, not invested in the things of God, this is what he was reading. You're not going to believe it. This is what he was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? Folks, this is a prophecy about Jesus. He was reading about Jesus, and he didn't even know he was doing it. How many of you know your friends and family and neighbors and coworkers right now that not only need Jesus, they're being led to Jesus by the Holy Spirit, and they don't even know it yet? They're simply waiting for you to walk where God told you to walk so that you can ask them, hey, do you understand what's going on right now? And so they can say, no, will you tell me? And then you get to share, just like Philip does. Here's what the eunuch said. The eunuch asked Philip, now tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? Now, this is the equivalent of you going up to a friend who sells timeshare and saying, hey, Bob, do you know any good affordable vacation options I could be part of? Going to a real estate agent and say, do you know a good person who could sell my home? Going to my father and say, you know anybody that can give me some good affordable car insurance? State Farm, by the way. Anyway, for you. So, it was too easy. This was so easy. And remember, Philip had no idea. Philip was simply walking where God told him to walk. So he asked this question. And so beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. I believe it was something like this. Philip said, yes, this passage. It's talking about a guy I know. His name's Jesus. And Philip tells the story about how Jesus came, how Jesus died for our sins, how on Sunday Jesus came back to life as an example for us, and how now Philip and his friends are called and charged by Jesus to go around and tell a world that desperately needs him who he is, and what he's done for them. And I guarantee you, part of it was Philip telling his own personal story about this is how Jesus has changed my life. Because that is what Jesus always asked his disciples to talk about. He didn't ask them to convince people. He didn't ask them to debate. He said, hey, just go tell people what I've done for you. Just go tell them how I've changed your life. And that is exactly what Philip does. That's exactly what happens. He shares and he shares. And I know many of you, you want to share that story because Jesus has changed you and you're so excited about it. But every time the situation arises, you get the feeling. And because you don't know what comes next, the feeling scares you and it paralyzes you. My prayer today is you'll understand this truth, that when God prompts, he also prepares. See, that's my challenge for you this week. As you're walking and talking, as you're spending time with your friends, and as you speak the time with your family, your neighbors, and your coworkers, when the opportunity comes up, because it will, when they're talking about how their life's not going well, and they're talking about the struggles they've had, when they talk specifically about something we've done a series about in the last year, you're going to have that voice that's going to say, hey, tell them about the series. Tell them about church. Tell them about Jesus. And you're going to get that feeling. What do I do? My prayer is that you'll take the step, and you'll understand that when God prompts, he also prepares. And God can use you to change someone's life, because that's exactly what happened here. Let's keep reading. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He says, hey, can I do? This is how I know Philip told him his story. Because he's like, you've been baptized. Can I be baptized too? Can I be a part of that? And Philip says, absolutely. He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Just like that, this man's life was changed forever. He had no idea what was about to happen. He was interested in things of God, not invested in the things of God. He was just kind of checking things out. And one man followed God's prompting He walked where God told him to walk. He changed his life. God wants to do the same thing through each and every one of you. There are people right now who are searching, who are hurting, who are interested but not yet invested in the things of God. And they are simply waiting for you to walk where God has told you to walk. They are simply waiting for the door for you to step through that He has created, that He has opened. They are simply waiting for you to share your story. And my prayer today is that that feeling no longer scares you, because you understand that when God prompts, He also prepares. See, the feeling's not scary. The feeling is excitement. The feeling tells you what's next. We were flying home yesterday. I looked at John. We were sitting about to take off. I said, John, are you scared? Big smile on his face, said, no, Dad, because I know what to expect. And then he said, I'm really excited about the weird part. I was like, what does that mean? He's like, you know, the weird feeling you get when we take off. I was like, you're excited about that? He goes, yeah, that's fun. I like how that feels. Folks, the feeling didn't change. The feeling on Thursday terrified him. The feeling on Saturday excited him. Because now he knows what's next. Imagine how your life would change. Imagine how your invitation would change when you begin to realize that feeling is a sign of what's next. That when the Holy Spirit prompts you, instead of running, instead of being afraid, you run to it because you know, oh goodness, God's about to do something. God's about to change somebody. He's going to use me. I'm just asking, how would your invitations change if you were confident that the God of the universe was at work and preparing the way every single time you do it? Again, you might be invitation number two. You might be number three. You might be number four. But you're moving the ball down the field. You're getting that person closer and closer and closer to the God of the universe, changing their life forever. So you don't have to be afraid. My son is 7 years old. It took him flying one time for the feeling to go from fear to excitement. For some of you, it might take one time. You might have to lean in that first time and say, I know you're supposed to do this. I know what he said. I know God's prepared, but I'm still afraid. Ah! That was fun. That went as bad as I thought. Because what's going to happen is you're going to see God move through you to change the world around you. And you're going to get excited about it. And then the next time you get that feeling, you're not going to be scared. You're going to be excited. Be like, here we go again. And again. And again. And again. Because our Father in heaven, when He prompts, He also prepares. Who is He preparing for you right now? Who's He been preparing? Who's He already kind of tipped His hand because they're asking you questions? They're noticing that you're going to church a lot more and they're starting to think you're really weird. Like, I'm sorry, you went to church last week. You're going back this week? Like 2 weeks in a row? What happens if you go 2 weeks in a row? Do they make you sign something? I'm sorry, you did what? You took a check? You gave them money? What? You signed a card? You gave them your address? What if they come to your house? See, they're noticing. They're asking. So just pray and ask God to move through you to change the world around you. And when the moment comes, when that feeling hits you, that feeling of I'm supposed to say something right now, remember this truth. When God prompts, He also prepares. Take a step so that you can experience God using you to change someone's life forever. That's what we're called to do. Your friends and family are waiting. You just have to walk where God tells you to walk. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your son. We thank you for how clear you are with us and how patient you are with us. And we thank you that you choose to use us to change the world. Lord, I pray for each of us in this room. Give us the strength. Give us the courage to believe that when you prompt, you also prepare. Give us the courage to step into that moment, to push past that fear, to push past that weird feeling, to push past the idea that we don't quite know what's next. But Father, you do. And that's what following you really means. It means stepping when we don't know what's next. And I thank you that the more we do that, the easier it is to take the next step because we learn to trust you more. So Father, grow our relationship with you, grow our faith in you, and fill us with the confidence that when you prompt, you also prepare. So in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.